and all who are watching on TV.
I've interviewed and portrayed people who withstood some of the ugliest things life can throw at you, but the one quality all of them seem to share is an ability to maintain hope for a brighter morning, even during our darkest nights. So I want all the girls watching here and now to know that a new day is on the horizon.
Even before Winfrey's remarks were over, the hashtag Oprah 2020 was trending, as many are calling for her to run for president. President Trump heading to Nashville today to speak at the 99th Annual Convention of the American Farm Bureau. And this is USA Radio News.
You know, when the Israelites got to the desert, they were given manna from heaven. Well, we may not have manna, but we do have Numana. In these uncertain times, become food independent with Numana's long-term storable food. Healthy, nutritious, dense meals, organic, non-GMO, tastes great, and lasts for over 25 years. Oh, and gluten-free is available. Order now and get 20% off, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just use promo code WAR. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775, or go to numana.com.
The Department of the Interior replacing an Obama administration policy that suspended development of offshore oil and gas resources, replacing it with a plan that essentially opens up all of the nation's outer continental shelf to energy exploration and production. A draft five-year proposal is calling for 47 lease sales in 25 of 26 planning areas. That includes 12 sales in the Gulf of Mexico, 19 in the Alaska region, 7 sales in the Pacific region, and 9 in the Atlantic region. The Center for Biological Diversity is calling the plan appalling. It predicts it will lead to disasters like the BP Deepwater Horizon oil spill. The American Medical Association releasing its National Economic Impact of Physicians. USA Radio's John Clemens reports on the report.
The study by the American Medical Association reports the nation's physicians support 12.5 million jobs, contributing $2.3 trillion in economic activity. AMA President Dr. David Barb tells us this makes the nation's almost 737,000 patient care physicians great economic drivers.
Between the direct economic impact of the practice and the downstream economic impact, in total, physicians really are a great economic driver for their communities and for their states.
I'm John Clemens.
And remember, you can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
All right, local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. 22 outside our studios right now. Looks like a winter advisory for this afternoon. Chance of sleet before 3 p.m., maybe changing to snow or freezing rain. That usual mix that we get here. So, good news is it's warming up. Chance of snow early in the evening tonight, turning cloudy, then partly cloudy, low in the 20s. Tuesday, sunny, high near 39. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, low in the teens. Back up in the mid-30s on Wednesday. Slight chance of freezing rain Wednesday night, at least around here. Thursday, chance of rain in the afternoon, high in the upper 40s. Rain on Thursday night, low in the 40s, so looks like the cold chill is over here. Stay tuned for Chef Phil's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hello, welcome to ChamberRadio.com, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, Chef Bill's Table. Bill Kinslow here, your host, coming to you live on Mondays at this time, but anytime on Rewind or on the archives. All the shows are archived at our website, so if you missed one or have a feeling you want to listen once in a while, feel free. So what's going on this week? Well, we got through our holidays. Hopefully everybody's always seems a little odd to go back to work with the crazy schedule of the last couple of weeks, but here we are. And of course most of the country's been cold, which kind of leads itself to braising. Braising is a slow kind of a combination of cooking methods, kind of a combination of dry and wet cooking methods. Dry meaning because normally you brown your proteins before you then simmer them in liquid. And depending on the cut, depending on the protein, it could be as little as an hour. It could be as much as 2 hours or maybe even more if you're braising a piece of brisket, for example, a roast or a pot roast, it might take up to 3 hours or so to do this. But smaller cuts, steaks, chuck steaks is what we think of. I was talking with my sister the other day, and you know, you try to eat well and healthy and lean proteins, but every once in a while you just want a good piece of beef, right? And she said, you know, steak's expensive. And although I think if you're going to have steak, yes, go for nice quality. But, you know, with family situations or even personal taste, right now you're not going to fire up your grill. You want something a little more stick to the ribs. Last week in the Times, they featured country ribs, country pork ribs. In the summer, of course, we have our spare ribs and St. Louis and baby back ribs. Or beef ribs, deviled beef bones, all kinds of things done, smoked, still low and slow. That meat between the bones is very tasty, but needs to be tenderized a little bit. But now we're indoors, and actually if you have a day where you can spend a couple of hours, and most of the cooking time for a braise is not active cooking time. You have your ingredients ready, whether you're doing it on the stovetop or a slow cooker or in the oven, your active time is really preparing whatever vegetables and aromatics you're going to put in there and searing the meat. And after that, once you add your liquid, it's can go on about other activities. So the country ribs kind of reminded me when I had my first restaurant. I was a kid, 23 years old, and I use country ribs. They're more of a retail cut. It's tough for me to get those in the restaurant. The butchers that, unless you use a private butcher, which at Jake's we did in the beginning, were able to, somebody that did retail also, so country ribs were available. So if you think of ribs as being mostly bone with that nice, tasty meat in between, the country ribs are from the front end of the pork loin. It looks almost like a collapsed pork chop. That loin muscle, that rib muscle runs into the shoulder a little bit. And oftentimes these are sectioned out and could be boneless, could be bone in, but looking for it's called usually rib end for barbecue. So there is a little bit of fat in there. It's if you like more of the meat than the bone, then this is the cut for you. We used them initially at Jake's. We used to slow cook them. We'd put our rub on them, and in our Alto Sham, the slow cooker that held at right temperature, all based on time and how much product you're putting in there. So basically a braise, and then chill them down. And when you're ready to serve, you can either bake them in the oven with your sauce, or if you're grilling, you can put them on the grill. Just bring them back to temperature. So I mean, when I did in my restaurant, I used to serve what I called a one-pound pork chop. And it was a small place, and I wasn't charging a lot of money. And I looked, did shopping in the grocery store the first year just to get things going. And I saw these rib end for barbecue, these chops. So a little bit of bone on there, but a lot of meat. And I used to cut them into one-pound portions and slow cook them. Don't need quite as much time as you do for the for spare ribs, because the you know it's from the pork loin. The meat's already fairly tender, and chill them down. And then when guests would order them, I would then baste them with the sauce and either put them under the broiler or in a hot oven to bring them back. And very good. And again, economical. I didn't have to charge a lot of money, as you would if you look at the price of ribs versus the boneless pork loin. The ribs always cost a lot. All the money is on the ribs with pork. That's what everybody wants. So if you like barbecue, and it doesn't have to be barbecue either. The neat thing about this is, you know, your country ribs, you can braise them in any kind of sauce you want. It lends itself to many different cuisines. You could even have it mixed with other meats. Some ribs, even in a choucroute garni with sausages. You could put them in, you know, if you're making a bean dish, almost like a cassoulet, you could put them in there. Anything that you're where you're going to braise and you want some pork meat. And again, not too much bone, but a lot of meat. More bang for your buck. So the other thing we were talking about is the chuck. The chuck steak that comes from the beef. And many times that shoulder, that front section there, lends itself to braising, because the meat, although it's full of flavor, it's exercised a lot, and therefore you need a little bit of time sometimes to break down that connective tissue. A lot of taste, though, and good economy. So you look at the chuck, and now the butchers have extracted a couple of nice tender cuts out of part of the chuck. Seems to be the never-ending quest for an economical steak. And so you get out of the first cut chuck, actually what you're getting is part of that ribeye muscle, the ribeye that's expensive, like, a.k.a. prime rib or boneless rib roast. So if you look at that steak, you'll see a bone, and you'll see it looks to be like the chuck end of a ribeye. It's exactly what it is, that first cut there. And then on top of that, you'll see some other meat. And then there's another divider. It's a bone. And then there's two little circles of meat. One is the flat iron, if that was extracted as a whole cut. And the other one would be a what they call a bistro or a mock tender or a chuck tender. And those little round discs can be seared and served nice medium rare, as could the ribeye steak. Now, the meat in the middle lends itself more to braising. That would be what you could either pot roast or cube it up and make a nice either a beef stew or beef and Guinness or the Flemish stew with the beer. You could vary the flavor. Again, you could make a Southeast Asian style of soy sauce braise. But what you're doing with the braising is you're adding liquid, and also some of that liquid can help tenderize, whether it's wine, whether it's beer, cider, soy sauce, all those things, fruit juices have a tenderizing effect also. So there's many ways to slow cook that product and get a nice flavor. Again, it takes a little bit of time, but that time is well worth it. Plus, it makes the house smell good.
Are you reeling in the yeast? Stowing away the time.
So today we're going to look at a couple of ways, a basic procedure for braising, and then a couple of other ideas. We have pastrami day this week. Pastrami is another cut that the navel that requires a lot of handling, let's say. Pastrami is first cured, and then it's smoked, and then usually cooked for a few hours before it's served. Beef bacon is also made from that cut. It's got that nice streaks of lean and fat. They're actually pretty good. I tried some a couple of weeks ago called Schmaken is the trade name, but there's beef bacon out there, and not too salty. It is a little bit different. Maybe we'll do a show on that one day. We've got a break for a couple of words from sponsors, and we'll be right back at the table. Have you had enough of mine?
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The stars, pull one down for you, shine it on my heart, so you could see the truth, than this love I have inside.
All right, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill's table. So how are we going to make these sometimes tougher cuts tender? Another cut that came up in conversation, of course, the top round, London broil. London broil is actually more of a recipe. Traditionally, it would be the flank steak, very lean, but with a distinct grain where you get nice slices across ways. Now, it seems in the butcher case, well, it's been for a while, some of the meat is designated by recipe, like beef for stir fry, beef for London broil, you know, beef for stew. You have to look on the label to see the primal cut that it comes from. Primal cuts meaning something like chuck, rib, loin, round. Larger sections, and it kind of tells you the middle meat, of course, the rib and the loin, the most tender, least exercised, and then the leg and the chuck would be more exercised, therefore sometimes you need a little help. Legs, usually the leaner meat. If you're looking for lean, then I would go with something from the round. If you're looking for more flavor, you don't mind the fat. Some of the fat melts out, some of it doesn't. In a brisket, for example, you will get fat dripping off, of course, the surface fat, but some of the meat in the middle, even when you slice it after cooking, you can smoke a brisket for 12 hours, and there's still some fat in there. Or you'll see it with corned beef sometimes. You see there's a leaner end, there's a fattier end. That's kind of, by the way, some of these luxury grinds of hamburger restaurants are using, where they mix in a little bit of short rib and brisket. That's part of the reason for doing it. Some of the fat does not melt away. It stays in there for that texture and flavor and mouthfeel. Makes those burgers, you know, a little bit more costly, but it is, you know, different flavor. We've tried some of them, and you can tell the difference. So something, if you really like burgers, which most people seem to nowadays, could be something to try. Anyway, so you have to tenderize the meat, and there's ways of doing it. If you do by marinating, of course, and you would say, I hate to use the word chemical, but, you know, you are performing some chemistry with marinade, so acids will help break down meat fiber. The soy sauce will. Certain fruit juices, papaya comes to mind. That's actually where your meat tenderizer comes from, the papain. Don't like the ones you sprinkle on there. It seems to just make the surface of the meat mushy, and then the rest of it is the same. You know, it's not. Plus, it's hard to figure out how much to use. Better off some pineapple juice, kiwi juice, papaya. And pineapple juice, I would want something that went fresh. You don't want the canned. You want nice fresh. You even see in a Korean style, the bulgogi, the Korean barbecue, will use a little bit of fruit juice in the marinade. Helps the acids in there help break down the meat fibers. Now, how do we get the marinade into the meat? Most of the time, marinade, I know I've marinated sauerbraten meat for 5 days, the eye round roast, and it takes about that long for the marinade to penetrate. If you're doing overnight, you know, if your steaks are an inch or so thick, you know, overnight should do it. I like to marinate in freezer bags, so you actually get the meat all covered. You actually use less marinade. It's a little bit less messy than having an open container or even a big container with a whole bunch of marinade and a couple of steaks in there. We like mechanical methods of tenderizing, and the first obvious one is grinding. You take anything and grind it, of course, you're going to tenderize it. You've got cubing. You see cube steaks in the store, and normally for some tougher cuts, you'll see it looks almost like a hamburger, but everything connected. So what it is a series of little bumps, rollers that punch holes in the meat. You could do the same thing with a handheld meat tenderizer, the bumpy edge there, if you're pounding out cutlets or thin steaks, kind of breaks the fibers there. Best one I've found, I like, it's called a jacquard, J-A-C-C-A-R-D, and they're needles, little flat needles. And they're kind of spring-loaded. They'll do up to maybe an inch and a half to 2 inch piece, although we've had commercial ones that we could do whole roasts with. And these little, they're not round holes. It's barely visible. Just thin, flat steel needles there that tenderize. If you're marinating something for flavor is one thing. If you want tenderness, sometimes, you know, you see recipes where it says, oh, just, you know, take a knife and punch some holes in it or take a fork. But the jacquard really does a nice job. They're, again, finer holes. You don't really see them. You'll see little lines there. But not inexpensive to buy one, but easy to clean and can really make quick work of say, a less expensive steak. Your cooking method, that's the other way to tenderize. And today, of course, with the braising, the long, slow cooking, liquid, when you're using wine or beer or cider, hard cider, things like that, the alcohol in there actually keeps that simmering temperature a little bit lower at first until the alcohol's gone. The alcohol boils at a lower temperature. So the part of the reason for doing that is, again, you don't want to boil when you're braising. You don't want that hard boil going on. You want just the maybe a couple of bubbles breaking the surface, but you want to keep that, you know, at least a little bit below the boiling point. Advantage of using wine is that it boils at a lower temperature, so you're not overcooking the meat. Another way to tenderize, of course, the final way is how you carve your steak. If you're doing something like a top round, it's very lean and not that tender. I mean, I think the round is best done as a roast. But if you happen to end up with one of those big top round steaks for London broil, you can sear them. The thing with those is you don't want to cook them beyond medium rare to medium. You don't want to cook them well done. And then at an extreme angle, you have to slice, so you're almost getting, you don't want to cut with the grain. If you do that, you know, almost nothing's going to be that tender. You have to cut across the grain. If I had top round, probably what I would prefer to do is slice it thinly across the grain while it's still raw, and then flatten it out and treat it like a veal cutlet, especially if you're not into veal. If you like the, if you want to do a beef cutlet, chicken, think of chicken fried steak. That's kind of the origin of that. You can make braising steaks from that, or you could bread them and make cutlets. And so you've sliced them thinly, and then you flatten them. If you use that either the jacquard or the meat mallet, your breaking fibers, you're tenderizing, and you're going to cook it quickly, and then you'll have nice and tender. So instead of using meat tenderizer chemicals, there's many ways to tenderize your steak. In fact, I used to use a shoulder steak when I had my restaurant, again, looking for economy, something. It was for, you know, locals. I didn't want to compete with the fancy restaurants. I just wanted a local place. And I had a steak called a wine merchant. Kind of the English translation, like a marchand de vin, kind of inspired it, where you would marinate the steak in red wine, you know, and some onions, some aromatics. But basically, like you would a sauerbraten would go in the red wine vinegar and the water. Well, this was in red wine. And, of course, it's ugly when it comes out. It's all purple. You have to dry it off. You don't want that too wet of meat if you're going to sear it. But I would broil it. And even that shoulder, the wine would tenderize it. And, again, broil it medium rare and slice it thinly. And even that, the shoulder steak would come out, you know, pretty good. Now you'll see a lot of chain restaurants call it a bistro steak or a chuck tender. And those are good also. They're little medallions. But, again, you can't, if you cook them to well done, then, you know, it's not going to be that tender. They need to be medium rare to medium. Or at that point, once it's well done, then you really have to take it another hour or so and do the braise. I've used the chuck tender for braises. You get nice, even slices on them. Just cut it up, not in cubes like stew, but cross into medallions. I've done a beef and Guinness like that. Nice for presentation, but there is a small window. And you can't hold it too long. Once they're cooked and tender, they will fall apart a little bit, which I guess that's tender, but not so good for presentation. Would you help me stand? So we've got a break for news here. When we come back, we'll go through some basic steps. Many recipes out there for braises and many flavor profiles, but we'll count down. There's basic techniques, and then you can season and use vegetables accordingly. Think of proportions. But basically, you set yourself, you know, a good few hours aside to enjoy the slow cook.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Fire breaks out on the roof of Trump Tower in New York City. It was reported just before 7 a.m. today Eastern Time on a rooftop deck. Secret Service agents apparently noticing it first. It's being described as electrical in nature, and two people are now being treated for minor injuries because of that fire. A new book about President Trump and his White House that questions the president's mental abilities and whether he's fit for the job is being called fiction by President Trump himself and by many of his closest associates. Here's CIA Chief Mike Pompeo.
We talk about some of the most serious matters facing America and the world. He understands the complexity. He asks really difficult questions of our team at CIA so that we can provide him the information that he needs to make good informed policy decisions.
Pompeo is speaking on Fox News Sunday. The book Fire and Fury was released on Friday. And this is USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Herman Cain. I am a less taxes, less government, more individual responsibility conservative. And our voices are being drowned out with the help of the liberal media. We have to take our voices to a new level. And we have to make sure that we are relying upon reliable conservative sources. One of those sources is the Western Conservative Conference. I'm going to be there. Because I want to help inform and inspire conservatives from across this country that we are not going to allow our culture to be destroyed by the liberal mindset that's sweeping across this country. WesternConservative.org is where you can sign up. I'm going to be there along with Congressman Andy Biggs and others to inform and inspire. They're not going to destroy America on our watch. And it begins with being better informed and inspired. I'm Herman Cain. I'll see you in Phoenix on March the 23rd.
Back at the table here, so we're going to braise, and I guess the first thing you decide is, are you going to braise a large cut, or are you going to make the cut into pieces for, I guess for, you could call it a stew, but obviously many different names for it, but where your meat's already kind of chunked up. If you're doing a soup, you may cut the meat smaller. If you're doing a main dish, you can keep them like a classic beef bourguignon, cut the slices or the cubes fairly large. Buying meat for stew in the supermarket, oftentimes you're at the mercy of the butchers, and the pieces may not be uniform. There may be some real fatty, some lean. I think better to buy a piece of the meat that you want to use. If you want something from the chuck, get a boneless arm roast or chuck roast, and slice it up yourself. That way you can kind of take, if some of that big fat that's there, you may want to take some of that out. And you could even render some of that and then use that to brown the meat if you really wanted to get full use out of it. But you find with beef, of course, is going to take the longest time. Now, if you're using pork, you're using veal, lamb, these obviously will take less time to cook. Lamb is a great, of course, the chops are very expensive, but normally the shoulder, you can get lamb shoulder cubes for not a whole lot of money. And if you like the flavor of lamb, very good bargain. When you're braising, if you brown it first in Averin style, or even the Irish stew where you just actually shock the meat and bring your broth to a boil and put the meat in, either way, you get a nice flavor. So, if you're doing a large piece, let's say, and that would be best probably because what happens is if you have some left, you've got a chance for using leftovers. If you have a little bit more than you needed, it's always good. A chilled down braised meat is fine for refrying as far as hash, as far as for tacos, or if you wanted to cube it up and make a nice ragu for pasta. pot pies. So never worry. I always kind of cook planning on for another meal. If you have to spend the time in the kitchen, it's not a bad idea, especially if with busy schedules. If you get a little bit more, and then you don't have to worry about exact, it serves 4 to 6, but I have 7 people, what do I do? Or I have 3 people, what do I do? And the 4 to 6 servings, that's quite a variation when you think about it. And some of them, to get the nutritional content right, will just automatically take something that probably can serve 2 people and stretch it out to 4. But that's just me observing. I got a big appetite anyway. So I'm going to use a slow cooker, or usually the best thing, a nice heavy pot with handles so you can put it in. Make sure the pot will fit in your oven and make sure it's not so heavy that your oven rack will break. You want a lid on it. Classic way for a braise, of course, you could actually put oiled parchment paper on top. It's not going to burn. It's going to sit on top of the liquid. But a lid that you could, cover or leave partly uncovered would be nice. You could do this on a stovetop, the braise, but you really need to monitor your flame if it's a gas stove. Electric stoves are easier to do it with. You can get it turned right down to that nice little simmer that you want. Oven's probably easiest. You don't have to worry about it over-reducing. What temperature of the oven? You could go as low as 250. You could go to 300. Some recipes will call for 325. But I think 300 or less, again, a little bit more time, but you don't risk boiling the product at too high a temperature. And whether you cover it or not cover, if there's a lot of liquid in there, braising should not, the meat, the large roast, should not be totally covered. It should have come about two-thirds of the way up the meat. And you can always turn it, but you're going to get that steam cooking on top. You want the liquid to actually reduce a little bit. It's going to help your sauce. So you have your roast, or you're going to cut your meat into cubes. Now, we need to brown it well. And most recipes call for using some flour. A slight dusting, seasoned flour always helps with the brown surface. Red meats, I'm not so sure that you need to flour them. Again, it helps thicken your sauce later, that nice brown flour taste in there. So that's up to you. And, of course, if you're avoiding flour, then it's a no-brainer. You're just not going to use any. But you need some oil. You don't want to use whole butter because that'll burn. You want oil that you can get nice and hot. And make sure you're browning the meat well. This is the most active part of the braise. Avoid crowding the pan. You want the meat to brown, especially when you turn it. You'll see you don't want that steam to start forming and you don't get the nice brown. You want the brown color, the caramel. It's not the sealant juices. It's just really for that nice flavor and nice appearance. So you have your meat browned, and you do it in batches. Or if it's a big roast, that's easy. You just have the one piece. Just make sure it's seared well all over. And you're going to remove it from the pot. Meantime, you're going to have your aromatic vegetables ready, meaning a mirepoix, which would be onion, carrot, and celery, small diced. If you're using a brown sauce, tomato paste is always good. It helps with mouthfeel, and actually when you saute the tomato paste, it brings out a whole different flavor with it. But in the hot pan, you're going to brown off your mirepoix. Now, those vegetables will be there for flavor, but also you may have some vegetables that you're garnishing with, and those will go in later, and that could be, again, this time of year, root vegetables always work well. Good flavor, sweetness. They're actually very good when they're overcooked, unlike broccoli or asparagus. If you overcook it, it's no good. But the roots, when you can cook them almost to the point where you could mash them. Potatoes, onions, whatever, if you're putting chopped onions for the sauce, you may even want some boiling onions in there later for garnish. But you're going to have your mirepoix, and it could be as simple as those 3 vegetables. Could be 2, could be, if you're doing a Cajun Creole, it might be the Trinity, onion, celery, and peppers. You're going to saute those till they're soft, and then you've got other seasonings that are going in there. I like to saute herbs, especially dried herbs, kind of release some of the flavor. And with these vegetables there, you're going to deglaze And that would be with your broth or your wine, your beer, whatever you're doing. Now, if you want the sauce thick while you're doing your vegetables, you may want to add a little flour to make kind of a light roux. Or you could thicken later with something called a slurry or a wash. That could be flour, could be Wonder flour, could be cornstarch, could be potato starch, anything you want. But so deglazing is meaning any brown bits that are in the bottom of the pot are going to come up, flavor your sauce. You have your liquid. Now, a good idea beforehand, again, you're working from a recipe, they'll probably be pretty accurate on the amount of liquid, but have your roast, use cold water, just see how much liquid it takes to barely cover it. And bear in mind that this is going to make your sauce later, not only your cooking medium, but you want to make sure that you have enough so it comes up almost to the top of the roast, two-thirds or so of the way. You don't want to have too much where it's sunk. You don't want to have too little because then it's not going to cook properly and you won't have enough sauce. So it could be broth, could be bouillon, could be part wine and beer, anything to bring to a boil. Then you're going to place the meat back in there, or if it's cured meat, that's when the cured meat will go back in, and any seasonings you're going to use. Now, you can always correct salt and pepper at the end. I would avoid oversalting at first. And if you're using something like soy sauce or any salty ingredients in there, remember they are going to add to it. Plus, you've seasoned your meat prior to browning anyway. So salt and pepper can always correct at the end. So once it comes to a simmer, now you decide, do you want to leave it on the stovetop? Do you want to put it in the oven? And now the active part is over. You could prep some vegetables if you're going to add them to the braise. If you're going to do side dishes, that's the time to do it now. If you're going to make a one-pot meal, then, you know, just have your, if you're doing root vegetables, make sure they're cut in the same size pieces so they cook evenly. If you're putting potatoes in there, that will help thicken a little bit also. So that's, or you can make, again, side dishes separately from that and have your roast with your sauce and maybe, again, noodles, mashed potatoes, rice, whatever the theme of your dinner is. Mama said, son, don't call my dog. So, how much time? So, if it's a large roast, you know, say a 3-pound or so roast, 4-pound roast, it's going to take a few hours. So, you let it go. If you're going to add the vegetables, you got to figure the vegetables are going to take, you know, 20 to 30 minutes to simmer in there. But I would check after about an hour and a half for beef. Now, if it's veal or lamb or pork, probably 45 minutes in to an hour, you start checking. And if it's cubes, I use a spoon. I want it to be spoon tender. And you get, after a while, by practice, you can tell when it's just, you know, it's just a little bit difficult to cut through with a spoon. That's when I would add the vegetables. You don't want the meat to be mushy, but you do want it to be cooked. You don't want the vegetables to cook before the meat. I remember at the Lake Placid Club, of course, again, looking for a little more elegant presentation, when we did even pot pies and stews and things like that, we would have our aromatic vegetables in there, but the vegetables for garnish were actually prepped and steamed separately to make sure that they were all cooked properly at their own rate. And that way you could have different size, like say your carrots cut in one shape and your potatoes in another if you wanted. Just for consistency, making hundreds of portions, that kind of worked for us instead of trying to stir a whole bunch of vegetables into a braise. Now, you could even not have vegetables. If you want to do, say, beef and Guinness, classic, I love that, over some mashed potatoes or noodles, there's onions in there. I do some carrots and mushrooms just more for flavor. And you could also serve another vegetable alongside. But all these things kind of fall into that category of braising. So with the beef, you know, an hour and a half in, you're going to check it. Now when it's done, if it's a roast, of course the temperature doesn't really matter. It matters for the tenderness. Again, I'll use a fork, and usually you want a two-pronged chef's fork, one that you might use for, you know, holding the meat while carving. And I put that in there. I do this checking briskets or anything like that, and if I can twist the fork easily, then the meat's done. Now, timing on this, again, braised meat can sit for a while. It's not bad. Probably what you're going to want to do is remove the meat from the sauce if it's a roast. And any fat that's come to the top, you want to skim it. Some recipes call for even making something the day before and then skimming the, you know, just breaking the cold fat off the top. But skim the fat with a ladle, and then you'll correct your seasonings and your thickening. If you're going to thicken it a little bit more, again, if you're using, I've found potato starch is pretty handy. You mix it up actually with a little bit of oil. Directions are on the box, and it thickens right away, doesn't leave that floury taste there. It's obviously gluten-free. It gives you that still that cloudiness of a gravy that cornstarch won't give you. Cornstarch kind of thickens clear, more for fine sauces or for fruit sauces, although okay in a pinch. Arrowroot will thicken clear. Beurre manie, just soft butter with flour in it. A few knobs of that dropped in there can help thicken at the end. Or you could make a whitewash with flour and cold water. Any of these things, you can correct your thickness. Another way to do it, if you've got your mirepoix in there, you want to make a separate sauce. I just take the immersion blender and puree the vegetables. And normally that's enough to bring some thickness. You've got soft onion in there. You've got carrots. If you use celery, probably even better would be use a little celery root. That would puree. But just puree those vegetables. You can strain it or not, depending on what the refined aspect of your sauce. And then you've got a nice, naturally thickened sauce with all that flavor in there. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table finishing up our braise.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
D Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Table here. So these procedures here, and you'll see some common threads if you cook enough of these recipes, you'll get good at it. It won't seem like such a chore. It's just, and you can use your imagination, you know, you can swap out ingredients. But really, once you know proportions and procedures, it really gives you a lot of freedom when you go shopping. Sometimes people shop for a specific recipe and they can't find a certain thing and they go, oh, I can't do it. But again, you'll see that with technique and just understanding how much product you need for how many portions. For example, commercially what we'll do for portions. Of course, restaurant portions are fairly large, but if you're making a stew, you need 10 ounces of raw product to make one portion, because you're going to have fat rendering out, you're going to have shrinkage when the meat's cooked, so you end up with, you know, maybe 50% or 60% of what you started with. Of course, a lot of the juice has gone into flavor. That's the beauty of a braise. And then the rest is your vegetables. If you're doing just a meat dish, say a beef and Guinness with very little vegetable, you need a little bit more product to start with. But don't think if you're going to serve 4 ounces of cooked product or 5 ounces to each person, you know, you need to account for the cooking loss. Whether you're doing any, we're doing roast, you're going to have some kind of loss. It's the moisture coming out of the product. And you could do your own. We do this in commercial kitchens called the yield test, where you've got a roast you start with, and then you've got cooking loss, and then when you're slicing it, then you've got some trim loss, and there's all, to get down to that plate, you realize how much larger a piece you have to start with. And as I said, I never worry about making too much, because there's always creative ways to use this. So it's the pastrami. This week, I guess the 14th, maybe, National Pastrami Sandwich Day. Pastrami is one of those great meats that's, you know, there's so much done to it with such an inexpensive or maybe a cut that, you know, what are we going to do with this thing? Between curing, smoking, slow cooking. So we've done it this before with pastrami. It's nice. Nothing beats the deli where they've got it sitting in the steamer there, and they're slicing it by hand, nice and thin. You get that piled high sandwich. But we've done it, make a cheesesteak out of it. You know, you have a Reuben, you have a Rachel that's pastrami and coleslaw on the sandwich instead of the sauerkraut and the corned beef that's a Reuben. But everybody likes cheesesteaks. And cheesesteak meat, let's face it, you know, those frozen rectangles there you buy, I mean, you know, you can always do much better. I mean, if you're going to do your own, just thinly slice some steak. Get some decent steak and slice it thinly yourself. We used to make it years ago. We would take our bench trimmings, the sirloin trimmings, and freeze them in a 1-pound can. Pack them together, freeze them, and then while they're still frozen, we would put them on the slicer, push the meat out of the can, and put on the slicer, and do it was called a chip steak, I guess, up in central New York. Instead of a cheese steak, it was called a chip steak, and be served with tomato sauce and maybe some onions and peppers. Same idea. But the pastrami, you've got all that flavor, you've got the smokiness, you've got the black pepper cure. sliced pastrami sizzled up just like, you know, again, I call it beef bacon. Makes a very good steak. What we've done is you take your bread, and in this case, you probably want some Russian dressing. And we'll put a little bit of Russian dressing on the bread and then the Swiss cheese and actually bake that in the oven so the cheese melts a little bit onto the roll. And then you simply have your hot frying pan. You shave that pastrami nice and thin and put it in there and do it like a cheesesteak with your spatula. Kind of chop it up. You can put some onions in there with it. If you like, you know, a little sauerkraut, whatever flavor. I like it with onions. So you do pastrami and onions, sizzle it up like a cheesesteak, and then you have your roll with the dressing and the cheese kind of melted into the roll, and pretty good. You know, it's like the best of everything. You've got your meat, you've got the kind of smoky bacon flavor and dressing and all that good stuff.
And die behind.
So hopefully, well, let's see. What do we got coming up? Game day, Super Bowl, right? That's going to be the big house party of the year, probably bigger than Thanksgiving, right? Everybody stays home. Even if you're not a football fan, you kind of get involved, right? So future show, we'll try to cover that once this month. Hopefully we have Pete Nercio back. Might have another chef with him in a couple of weeks. See if we can get them back on the show. And what else? So, yes, remember, you know, when you're shopping, again, think of these less expensive cuts, especially from the chuck. Look for flat iron, look or chicken steak, it used to be called. Look for mock tenders, chuck tenders. But that first cut, if you're looking for a bargain, you want to get a couple of good meals. You can get some nice seared steak out of that, get a ribeye steak, and then get some braising meat. So make at least two meals, possibly three, out of the one steak. And if they got them on sale, buy two, right? Never hurts. We've got to sign off, getting to the end of our hour here. We'll be back next week, I think. Martin Luther King Day. I'm not sure if the chamber is going to be open. Otherwise, we'll be on rewind. And talk to you down the road. Chef Bill signing off. Have a great week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Fire breaks out on the roof of Trump Tower in New York City. It was reported just before 7 a.m. today Eastern Time on a rooftop deck. Secret Service agents apparently noticing it first. It's being described as electrical in nature, and two people are now being treated for minor injuries because of that fire. A new book about President Trump and his White House that questions the president's mental abilities and whether he's fit for the job is being called fiction by President Trump himself and by many of his closest associates. Here's CIA Chief Mike Pompeo.
We talk about some of the most serious matters facing America and the world. He understands the complexity. He asks really difficult questions of our team at CIA so that we can provide him the information that he needs to make good informed policy decisions.
Pompeo is speaking on Fox News Sunday. The book Fire and Fury was released on Friday. And this is USA Radio News.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
Howdy, folks. I'm Colonel Sanders. When I told folks my signature KFC pot pie was filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, veggies, and topped in a golden flaky crust and only cost $3.99, they said I was crazy. And maybe I was, because that was 1980, and $3.99 was a lot of money back then. But today, getting a meal that size